Just thank you guys for being here. We are a little bit of exciting times here at TCC. You'll find more about that out this week. But we are in a series on talking about If I Only Had, and there are three things we're going to cover this month, and it's time, friends, and money. And how many of you know that those are three major things that we deal with constantly in our life? And so today, as we really dive into the series, I just want you to open up your heart to what the Spirit of God might be speaking to you about. Because if we can learn to navigate these three areas, I believe that we can have more of a profitable life. Mm-hmm. Because people talk about this idea of balance a lot, and I just want to help you understand that balance is a myth. It's impossible to have perfect balance in your life. But when you have the Holy Spirit navigating your life, you can be centered. Mm-hmm. And so that's where you're really aiming for in your life, is centered, not balanced. Because there are seasons of your life where you're going to feel like, I'm completely out of control. Everything is happening. I don't know what's taking place. My kids are going off the deep end. My job's going crazy. There are other seasons where it feels like nothing's happening and you're at peace. I would just say this, like Paul said, in every season and every circumstance, learn to be content.
Yeah.
Whether you have a little bit or whether you have much, just know that the source of your strength is Jesus Christ. And that scripture, when it says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, it's a reality.
Yeah.
And you will begin to learn that, and you can navigate your life better when you realize that here's your source and your strength. And so I just want to encourage you in that today as we get going. And how many of you would say, hey, listen, it's hard sometimes for me to navigate what I feel like God is asking me to do in my life. It's just hard. When you give your life over to Jesus, you understand that you are exchanging your life, your ideas, for His ideas, and essentially someone else's ideas.
Yeah.
Because God's idea for you is different than your idea for you. And we can get those mixed up sometimes, especially when we feel interrupted in our life and we feel like God is trying to navigate us and move us in a direction that we don't necessarily know where we're going, or number two, like where we're going. Mm-hmm. Because we like to know the end from the beginning. The problem is that oftentimes the Lord does not show us the end from the beginning. He says, I want you to take a step and follow me, and along the way, I'll give you glimpses of what it's going to look like. We know that God has called us to prosper and be in good health even as our soul prospers. We know that He has plans to prosper us, not to harm us, to give us a hope and a future. We know all those things. We quote all those things. We like those things. We know that He gives us joy for mourning and beauty for ashes. We love those scriptures. We love the fact that there is an end. But the hard part is in between, in the middle, navigating how to get to the end on the other side. But that's where Jesus Christ comes in and makes Himself known to us. The Bible talks about Moses, how He showed Moses His ways, but He showed the children of Israel His acts. And so there was an intimacy that was developed between God and Moses that God wants to have with you.
Yeah.
And so that's why when you look at scriptures that say Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways submit to Him, He will make your path straight. It is a key scripture for us because you have to understand that it's not just about your way. Your way is not God's way. And so, a matter of fact, as you get along in your way, God will interrupt your way and say, okay, I don't like the way that's going, we're going to do it my way. Because God wants to infiltrate your process and make sure that He's part of the process and that His perfect will is being done in that process. And that is difficult sometimes because your will and His will does not match up. There are certain things that you would like to do that God says, I don't want you to do that. There are certain concepts in your life that you would like to introduce, and God says, I'm going to do something a little bit differently. How many of you know, and you can be honest and say, there are times in my life where I've gotten going, and I felt like God has redirected the course of my life and said, listen, you're not going this way, you're going this way.
Yeah.
It's because God knows the end from the beginning, and He knows in reality what you want anyway. Mm-hmm. Because when God created you, the Bible said He gave you a new nature. And that He prepared works beforehand that we should be able to walk in them. And so I am coming into alignment with what God has already prepared for me. And so I can defer to God, even though I may not necessarily agree with God, because I know that God is good.
Yes.
And that He has something good for me on the other side. And when you look at this word, submit, in New King James, it says acknowledge. And that word actually means to get to know. And so God will come in just to interrupt your process so you can get to know Him. Mm-hmm. Just how He does things. Because you know that when He does things, He does it different than the way you do it. And you have to be comfortable or be comfortable with being uncomfortable because now you really have someone else living inside of you trying to help you in the course of your life. You're not just living for one anymore. You're living for two. So when you open your heart, you open your heart up to Jesus. And now that He's in there, you got to make room for Him and what He wants. And how do you know, how many of you know sometimes His elbows are a little bit stronger than your elbows?
Yeah.
And he'll make some room for you and kick some things out of the way because he wants to really take up residence in your spirit and really be on the throne of your heart. And sometimes that means that when he begins to stretch himself out, other things have to go. That means bitterness has to go because he can't stay in that. Unforgiveness has got to go. The way you used to do things has to go. The childish ways that you used to operate in have to die. The way that you used to handle conflict has to change. Your mindset on what life is really about has to change. Your fight or flight syndrome has to change. Because oftentimes, God asks you to go through things and not around them. You know, I find in my relationship with God is that, yeah, there are some things that God lets me know about. There are some things that are about to happen. But often than not, God wants me to face up to things. And face up to myself. Really deal with myself, but also to face up to problems and really believe that God is bigger than the problem that I'm looking at. And so if I can do that, if I can do the hard things and look at the problem and say that God is bigger than that, then I can grow in that process. And how many of you know that God is into growth?
Yeah.
He's not into stunting your growth. And so if you're looking for a relationship with God that's going to help you stay comfortable and to stunt your growth, you're in the wrong relationship. Because God will help you gravitate to things that are difficult and want you to walk through those things with Him so that you can get to know Him in the process. That's the beauty of a relationship with Jesus Christ, is that you get to know Him in the difficult process. You do not get to know Him in the other way. We know Him, per se, from the fact that He's good and we can sense His presence. And how many of you be honest and say, listen, I sense God's presence before. He's good.
Yeah.
But there's something about allowing Him inside the process that develops an intimacy that you can't buy in the world. And if you can allow God in the process, you can really begin to see the value that you have in His eyes. So that when God asks you to do something, you're more willing to do it. How many have friends in your life and that you're more apt to do something when they ask you to do something, close friends, as opposed to someone you don't really know in your life? Because you trust them. You trust their process. You trust their heart for you. And it's the same way in your relationship with God. You trust His heart for you as you get to know Him.
Yeah.
I have more trust in my wife almost 17 years later now than I did when we first got married. Because she's been in the process with me this long. And so we've gotten to know one another in the difficult times and the hard times and begin to understand who we are so that inside what God has called us to walk through, we can navigate it through together because we have an understanding that I have to let God be God in her life and I have to let God, because she has to let God be God in my life, as opposed to she also understands that men are from Mars and women are from Venus. And so it's just a lot easier for us to be able to navigate through things that she looks at things differently than I do. She lets me be a man and I let her be a woman. And in that process, guess what? God can get through and accomplish His will.
Yeah.
But that takes time. And God is into taking time with you so that He can help you understand the value of having a relationship with Him. How many of you know that God probably should have given up on you a long time ago?
Yeah.
Should have gave up. You had it. You were going well. You just weren't doing it. But He didn't. He is consistent and He's constant because He wants you to know Him in the process and as a result wants you to know yourself. There's nothing more beautiful than coming into an understanding about who you are on a deeper level. When you begin to see the beauty that God has put on the inside of you and as it begins to come out, it's just a beautiful thing. It makes all the difficult things that you go through worth it in your life. It makes the crushing that you go through worth it in your life because you see the new wine that is being birthed in your life and it's just sweet.
Yeah.
And you don't want to taint it. And so that's why the Bible says you can't put new wine in old wineskins. It just doesn't work that way. And so if you feel like God is excavating parts of your soul, He's doing it for a reason because He's making way for the new because He doesn't want the new and the old to mix because it doesn't mix well. And so God brings in new into your life and it's sweet. And once you taste the sweetness, it's hard to go back to something sour. You don't mind sour things. But you can only handle them for a little bit of time. After a while, you need something sweet again. And that's the way Jesus is with us. And as you begin to understand more of your relationship with Him and how valuable it is, you begin to understand what is healthy for you and what is not healthy for you anymore. And how many of you can attest that what is healthy for you now is far better than what it was 10 years ago?
Yeah.
You're in a different place. And you want to stand in that place, Jeremy Sincere, thank you for your hand. And so, because once you see what God has brought you through, you don't want to go back to that because it's too sweet now. Sour doesn't taste good anymore. And so God knows the way. And we're all trying to go somewhere. And in reality, what God is trying to do is to make us more like Jesus Christ. That's the ultimate goal. We say, well, I want a big house. And we all have these dreams. And dreams are not bad. And God wants all that for us. He wants dreams. But in reality, what he wants more than anything is that you're becoming more and more like his son. Mm-hmm. And so in the process of getting those things or walking into your destiny, his job is to make sure that you're becoming more and more like Jesus. And so, and if you look back over your life, you are becoming more and more like Jesus. And so that when you get those things that God has promised you, that that relationship with Jesus doesn't suffer. That you recognize who it came from, you can appreciate it, and continue to walk on. Because most of us, if we were to got things in our life too early, we would have squandered our relationship with God. We would have squandered what was valuable. And we would have put over what we got over what we really valued in our life. And that's Jesus. And that's important. Israel got a king. They weren't supposed to get a king. He said, listen, I want to be your king. But nevertheless, they wanted something that wasn't necessarily God's will for them. And they got Saul. And Saul turned them into some difficult situations that they had to really begin to unfold in their life. But we begin to see that there were some character issues that really began to happen in Saul's life, and God said, listen, I've rejected this guy, I've got someone else, a man after my own heart. And that's really the desire that God has for each one of us, is to be a man or woman after God's own heart, because God knows the way. God has an ultimate plan and purpose and what he wants. The question is, are we walking in step with him according to what that plan and purpose is in our life? And if you really want what God has for you, God will make sure that you stay in step. Even if you're a step behind, God knows how to kick you to get you to the place where you need to be, because God has certain plans and designs for you that he's expecting you to be in certain positions at certain times. You understand them, right? Your life has been marked out. There are certain seasons that God wants to release in your life, and there's a timetable that God has for you. And God knows the way that you should take. My way is going to be different from Maria's way. It's going to be different from Craig's way. Because ultimately, I am fitting into a plan that God has ultimately in mind, but it's specific for me. And so I can't compare myself to Craig's way. I can be appreciative of what God's doing in his life, but I can't compare myself. I got to make sure that I'm on mission with God and doing what God has asked me to do, because God knows what's on the other side of it. Listen, how many of you have ever, God has shown you something, it wasn't for now, but it was for the future, and when you got to that point, you look back and say, oh, I saw that. It's because he always shows you a preview of what's to come. You may not see all the details, but he shows you a preview of what's to come so that we continue to move with him. Because there's something about being where God is at that should want to keep us moving in our life. And that's what God has called us to. God knows the way. You might say, I don't like the way. It's God's way. And so you have to be comfortable with how he does things. And that's hard sometimes for us, especially if you're an independent person, a high-functioning D on the DIS test, and you like to do things your way, and God has to come in and say, it's not your way, it's my way. I'll help use you in your personality, but it's my way. And so when God asks you to do something, it's for a reason. And when he shows you things that have not yet taken place, be encouraged, because God will definitely bring those things into your life, but he's going to bring it in his timetable. He shows you so that you keep moving. Because we have a tendency, once we get what we want, okay, what's next? But God says, I want you to keep moving with me, because ultimately, you're coming to see me. And so this race that God has called you to run in your life is an actual race. And so you're looking at other people around you wondering what they're doing. God says, don't look at them. Look at me. It's a race. I'm at the end of the finish line, and I'm doing the work that needs to be done. And so don't forget that I'm in this, that I started it, I'm going to finish. I know how to get you there. That's why some of the reasons people have left you in your life is because God didn't want them there. Some of the jobs that you lost, God didn't want you to have anymore. Some of us think that we're in control of our lives. We think, I can control everything. And in reality, it's an illusion. There is self-control, which is a fruit of the Spirit. But you are not ultimately in control. Try doing that. Try controlling an outcome or saying, okay, I'm going to control the way this looks. Inevitably, something always comes in and flicks it into a little bit of a different direction because God has a way of getting into making sure that his ultimate purpose is accomplished in your life. Now, your faith will work for you and it will help you get to the place that you need to be, and God will help you get strength in your faith so that you can believe him for more. But ultimately, God's plan and purpose will happen. I remember years ago, when you're younger, you say like stupid stuff. You're younger, you say things, you're like, well, I believe this is it. This is the one. I remember being in relationships, I'm like, man, this is the one. I know it is. This is the one. And then you look back and say, how infantile in the thought process at 20 years old, for me, or where I was at, to think that that was it. But that was part of my process. And it wasn't until Misty came in my life that I realized that God had something better for me than what I was thinking for my life. And we have to have that same mindset to look back and say, okay, what God had in mind for me is different than what I have in mind for me myself. Yeah. And so God always asks me sometimes to put on the table what I think so that he can actually burn that sacrifice up and then bring something else into my life and say, no, this is better. If I wouldn't have let go of that, I wouldn't have got that. If I wouldn't have let go of certain seasons of my life or endured certain seasons in my life, I wouldn't have what I have now and the type of anointing I have now. It's the same way with you. If you don't learn to endure in certain seasons, you'll never develop what you need for God to bring you into what he's trying to bring into you next. Because it's not just about, yes, I'm being obedient, but it's about God allowing the process, or you allowing the process to take place in you so that you can be crushed and so that God can preserve what it needs to preserve, bring the beauty out of it, bring the power out of it that needs to be there so that you can have it in your life so that when you go into the next season of your life, you have what you need. You're developing skills right now. We've talked about this before. You have no idea where you're doing it. It's not necessarily for now. Mm-hmm. Because God always prepares you for what's next. That's why you can't throw out what you're doing now and say it's insignificant. It's never insignificant. Because God uses everything. So you are preparing for when. I want you to take that phrase today home with you. So why am I doing this? You're doing it for reason. You're preparing for when. When what? When God does bring it into your life, because he will. That's why it's important. Second thing is, God knows you. He knows you. Psalm 37:23. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. God is a God of detail. And how many of you wish that he was not? Because he takes his time when he does things in our life. And this idea of God not sweating the small stuff, it's not true. God will come in and make sure that things are operating correctly in your life, and that also means in the little things. That's what happens when you become acquainted with him in his process. He helps you deal with the little things, the discipline issues that you have, the out of control spending sometimes that we have, the emotional reactions that we have sometimes. And so God comes in and takes care of every detail of our life. He's intimate with those things. And he's involved in every detail. You know he is. Look back over yesterday and see what God took you through. Look back at what he was doing in your life a week ago and what he took you through. He's in the process. He's in the detail. And God knows you. That's what's so great about this, Scott, is that God knows you. And so when God comes in and that relationship is developed and you're doing work with God, it's specific for you. God's eye is on you and Sharon and Ramona all at the same time. But specifically doing a work in Scott that's just for Scott. And so that's why Scott can take pride in the fact of the work that God is doing in Scott and see how far he's come, because he knows what it took to get him where he's at right now.
That's right.
And then that relationship with God blossoms even more because God knows you. And then Sharon can appreciate what God's doing in her life. That's how good he is. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. He's omniscient. He knows everything, including you, every detail of your life. He knows what you like and what you don't like. Years ago, when I said there are certain things that I want in a marriage, I had a list that I wanted. I had a list. She made the list. Okay. God brought her in. She made the list. And I'm still saying things on the list. I didn't even know we're there. Okay, well, add that one. That's a good one, too. Bring her on in. She's just good. It's because God knows the innermost desires of the heart. And so when God comes in into a relationship with you, all he's trying to do is really help you see. And here's a sneak peek. Actually give you the desires you want.
That's right. That's right.
No, he doesn't. No, he actually wants to give you. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Because God is already acquainted with what you want. Because he's already placed it inside of you. Well, that's just me. It is you. Have you ever thought about that? Well, that's just me. It is you. God made you that way. The older I get, the more I'm accepting how great I am in God's sight. That sounds really precocious. No, what it does sound is, I'm just appreciating what God made. And so that I don't cast it before somebody who doesn't appreciate it. So that my relationships are healthy in the sense of they're with people who actually appreciate what God is doing in my life and who can't really appreciate what's happening, what's taking place. Not the fact that we're not in a relationship, but there are different levels.
Yes.
That are there.
Yeah.
So you don't have time to throw your pearl before swine because they're not going to appreciate it. So that's why when God gives you a check on, hey, listen, avoid that, stay away from him, stay away from her, it's for a reason.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to appreciate necessarily what God is doing in your life. Now, on the flip side, be discerning with the Holy Spirit when he asks you to speak into someone's life, but he's never asked us to rescue somebody.
Mm,
you everybody hear that? He's never asked us to rescue somebody. He's asked us to speak into people's lives and to help navigate a little bit of where they're going, but never to rescue people because that's his job.
Yeah.
And so there are some times in your life where God has said, listen, stay away from that. Don't do that. Do this. Because God knows what's best for you in your life. God knows you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the problem that we have is that we don't like ourselves very much.
Mm-hmm.
And when God comes in and tries to change that mindset, it can be difficult. Because when God says you're good enough, we argue. We say, no, we're not.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're good enough. You can have this. Listen, most of us in here have left Egypt a long time ago. You left it a long time ago. Those days are done. You are saved. You have a new life in Christ. God has set you on the rock. He has put desires in your heart. You're a new creation. He's recreated your nature. You have new desires. You're not the person you were. God has a plan and purpose for your life. And that the way you think about things is totally different now than when you thought about them years ago. And so by now, hopefully, you've recognized that God is actually for you.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually wants good for you.
Yeah.
Okay? Case in point. This is a real small example. Today is the kickoff of football season on a Sunday. Correct? Okay. At 4:05, I'm going to watch the Giants and Dallas Cowboys. All right? Because I'm a Giants fan. Really? Yeah. You know why? I'm a Giants fan, and I'm going to watch the Giants lose to the Cowboys today. Okay? All right? I'm just going to do it. You don't have any faith. Kind of. So I'm just going to do it because I enjoy watching that. And that's okay. You know why? God's made me that way. So that does not mean I'm purposely going out and doing something that is contrary to my nature. Because some people will take it and say, well, then we'll just do whatever we want to do, right? If we like to do it, wrong mindset. But the desires that are in my heart, if I feel peace, I know it. That's the type of relationship that you have with God. God is actually for you. He wants you to succeed and win. God is not some God who like gives and be like, okay, well, that's not really yours. It's not yours. Well, wait a minute. I thought it was. No, it's not yours. I'm kidding. Here. <yeah. laughs> No, it's yours. It's like, it'd be futile for me to when I'm using her today because I love her today, every day. So that when God brought Misty into my life and he said, listen, that's the one I called you to marry. I'm like, no, it's not. And I argued with him. It's just not. No, it's for you. I've saved her for you. I prepared her for you. This is just as your wife. Go ahead and take possession of your wife. This is your wife. It'd be futile for me to say no and just resist God and not walk into God's perfect will for my life because I don't feel worthy. No, this is it. We do that with God. God brings good things into our life, and we argue with God on the merit of whether or not we feel good about ourselves, or we're good enough to be able to receive it. And instead of just receiving it and saying, no, it is mine, we walk in guilt in our life as we're not supposed to enjoy it. And so instead of really enjoy it, we actually put ourselves in prison, and we can actually abdicate the blessing that that blessing is supposed to give into our life.
That's good.
So the question is, what could you be missing in your life right now that you should not be missing? Because you feel like you're not worthy. The enemy comes in to bring condemnation. Condemnation is not from God. He brings conviction, but he doesn't in a way to help encourage us. He doesn't heap condemnation on us, so it puts us down and says, you can't receive anything good in your life, and just know until you really pay for what you did, you really pay and understand that I'm God and you're not, you will stay there. And then when I feel that you're ready, I will lift you up. You think the way that's why God looks at you? God already took you from where you were and put you on a place and already dressed you in white and gave you a new name. And so we have to come into alignment with what he already thinks about us and stop listening to the lies of the enemy that is robbing us really of the blessing of your life right now and the future that you have. Because really what he's trying to do is rob you of your future because you're not enjoying now. So how do you know when the future is coming? Because you're not even enjoying now. We have this mindset that says, well, when I'm good enough. Listen, from what Jesus did, you're already good enough. You're already good enough. The blood was enough. It already covered you. Are there things that you need to work on? Absolutely. There are things you got to work on. But does that dissuade God from wanting to bless you? No, because if that were the truth, no one in here would be blessed. Because we're all in process. And so when God brings something into your life, enjoy it. Enjoy it. Because God has a way. How many of you, guys, listen. How do you know that that's not God's way of actually bringing healing into your life so that you can see that you actually are worth it? Many times we're asking for God, Lord, I just need healing, I need direction. And God brings something in your life, and it's the very key for your victory and your healing. And God says, I brought you that. Enjoy it. And then as you enjoy it, God all of a sudden opens your eyes to the fact that, man, I am loved by a good, good Father. Because he knows what I like. And he knows what's good for me. He knows what's good for me. So God knows you. Everybody say, God knows me.
God knows me.
And you know yourself. You said this. How many times have you said this, man? I know me. So if you know you, make provision for you. Does that make sense to you? Make provision for you. If you know there are certain things that you do not like to see in your life, make provision so that does not happen. Well, no, if God wants it to happen, no. Make provision so it does not happen. If there are certain things that you love to see in your life, make provision so that it will happen. Well, what does it mean? God can intervene in any circumstance in your life. That's why when the Bible talks about many are the plans of a man's heart, but the Lord directs the steps, God knows how to get you to where you need to be. Don't think you is going to stop God from accomplishing what he wants in your life. A lot of times we think, well, I'm going to stop God. Yeah. You're not going to stop God. And once you begin to see that, it just begins a new freedom in your life. Because God will bring someone. And God will accomplish something in your life. God will bring you to the place where he wants you to be. And there's just a freedom there. The enemy, I'll just be honest with you. So many times when he tries to lie to me and say, man, you're not going to get there because you got a bad day, man. And like my day is thwarting God's ultimate purpose.
Yeah.
And so we have to really come into alignment with what's real and what's not real. And what's truth and what's not. The reality is that God loved you enough, and he loves you unconditionally, and that God will perform what he wants to perform in your life regardless of whether or not you ebb and flow in your emotions. He will perform it. And matter of fact, as he's performing it, he's going to heal you in those ebb and flow.
That's right.
And still show you that even in the ebb and flow, I'm good, and I'll still get you to where you need to go. That's how good I am. And so once you begin to see that, you can tell the enemy just to sit where he needs to sit and continue to walk where you need to walk, because you know God's good. God has you covered. God's going to get you where you need to be, and that he's your fail-safe plan. He's your fail-safe plan. I don't want to sit on this. I want you to get excited about that because I really believe and feel that we need to hear that. God is going to get you to where you need to be and that he's fail-safe. It doesn't matter of what direction you take. God's like that dog who doesn't stop sniffing. who just goes around just sniffing that grandma. Just looking. He's sniffing for that one place, right? He's like that dog. He is always behind you, man. Just following you. He's following you everywhere. Every detail. Just following you. Wherever you get. Wherever you sit down. The Bible says that when you get up, he's there. When you sit down, he's there.
Right.
Sometimes you look back and say, man, can you go somewhere else? Because he's so there, sometimes it's a bother. Because he doesn't let us forget that he's there. Sometimes you try to, but other times you're like, he's like this, I'm here. And that's just the confidence that you have to know. I just want to make sure that you know, Richie, that I'm there. I just want to make sure. And that gives me the confidence sometimes to continue to walk where I need to walk, because it doesn't matter where it is. I can make my bed in hell. He's still there.
Yeah.
I can go to the othermost parts of the earth and do something crazy. He's still there. It doesn't matter. That's the beauty of God, and that's the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ, that he follows us wherever. He's not going to let you drop. He's not going to let you fall, even in your mistakes. He's going to pick you back up. He's always there. He's constant. And that should make someone just shout and get excited today for the fact that, because you know there are times in your life where you should have just told God, just abdicate this process because this thing ain't working for me. But God said, no, I'm going to stick with it and I'm going to continue to walk with you. And that's the excitement that you have, because God's goodness is not predicated on whether or not you feel good that day. I know you, he said. And I'll show you that I know you. That's the thing that gets you to where you need to be. Because he's the only one who really knows you. Because it's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And then all these other relationships have their place. But that's why he's pulling and pushing and saying, no, it's just me and you. Maria, we agreed a few weeks ago where we got to the realization where it was like, you know what? It's always been me and him.
Yeah.
Always been. He's just good. And some of you don't really, your face says, no, he's not. I'm just kind of like, he's just whatever. No, he's good. The problem is that we don't see the big picture. We see what we've been through, but we don't see the big picture and the goodness that has already come out of it. He was good in the fact that he just got you out from where you were to where you are now.
Yeah.
So appreciate the little things, the little goods, so that then you'll begin to understand just what the big picture it looks like and how good God is. Man, I'm telling you guys, today he's with you everywhere. Everywhere. He's never going to let you go. Sometimes you might think, well, he let me go. No, he didn't let you go, but sometimes he does step back to see if you'll fly. And what you'll do. Remember what about Bob? Remember his son was having such a hard time diving? And Bill Murray, of all people, come in and help this kid learn how to dive. And Dr. Leo Marvin's going crazy. And remember the scene, he's going crazy because he's looking through the window and he comes out, Bob. Okay, he comes all the way out and the picture is, he's here, the kid's here. And all of a sudden, Bill just like let go, and the kid just dives into the pool. And all of a sudden, there's just an excitement that takes place because he finally got it. That's how God is. Mm-hmm. He's always holding you. But sometimes, it'll feel like, I'm just going to let go a little bit. Because he knows that if you just jump in, I've held you long enough. You can do this. And you jump in, and the excitement is when you get out, man, I did it. And then it takes your relationship to a whole other level because you know that there's a God who's held you, but he's strong enough to let you actually do it for yourself because he wants to see you grow. He's never left you. He's never forsaken you whatsoever, but he will let you try. And either way, he's still proud. But he'll still let you try. And the excitement is the fact that, man, if I didn't get it the first time, I'll get right back up and I'll try it again. That's the excitement. He'll let you try. That's what a good dad does. Mm-hmm. Try, you failed, okay, but you learned something. Guess what? You learned grit. You learned how to get up and do it again.
Yeah.
Isn't that, gosh. We get blinded because we think we failed. And we failed. In reality, it was just a training session. For you actually to see And you can do it.
Yeah.
The only failure is not trying.
Mm-hmm.
What if I fail? What if you succeed? Doesn't that give you the motivation you need to get up and try it? Well, I don't know. Try it. I hate Indian food. I hate it. It's hot. I tried it one time. That's good. I'm not going to do it again. You tried it. Think about your life. What are you not trying at? It's like, I'm trying. Alan, help me. You got to pray for me. I'm not going to spill beans on something. Just listen. There are things in my life that if I wouldn't have stepped out and said, you know, I don't know how it's going to be, well, I'm going to try it. You think starting a church is easy? You think doing what God has asked you to do is easy sometimes? Let's try it. I think the way God looks up there is that sometimes we look at God's like in this tunnel vision, like, man, you better get this wrecked. And God, I think God is so lighthearted in a sense where he's like, man, just try it. See what happens. Okay. It's difficult, it's hard, but guess what? It's changing me. And it'll change you if you try it. Isn't that what God wants? Because he wants you to see that you actually can do it, and no matter what, he is there. When you were younger, we're about to close. Remember how you used to be when you tried stuff? Remember adolescence? You didn't care. You tried stuff and went outside. You broke a leg. You broke an arm. Remember how it was back in the day? I remember back in the day, it was like, you know what? It wasn't really an acknowledgement. I was like, it's cool. Just go back outside. It was just the mindset that where I came from. Okay, I was outside constantly. In my life, constantly. I came in for dinner. Dinner was like a pit stop. I came in. I wanted to get back outside because I just wanted to be out. We get to a point where we stop that. We get to a point and it's like, well, I'm not saying that we don't grow up. I'm not saying that there are not childish ways. I'm not saying any of that. What I am saying is we stop believing that things are possible and we stop trying like we used to. We get this mindset where it's like, well, that's it. This is what I got. Is it really? I don't think God's heart and plan was for you to get to a certain point in your life. Well, I'm going to stop trying. I just have what I have. That is just backwards from what I believe that God has called us to live like. I believe that he's always called us to go from faith to faith and from glory to glory. And that means that you got to keep trying to put yourself out there a little bit. It's going to sound crazy and wacky, but I'm telling you what, it's worth it. It's worth doing something for God and something different and crazy and birthing something new rather than staying stuck in a hole and not doing something in your life and say, I played it safe my whole life. What is that? What is safe?
That's right.
To get back that childlike attitude, to know that I have a dad who loves me unconditionally.
Yep.
I'm not sinning on purpose. I'm believing God on purpose.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm on purpose. It don't even matter. It may not happen. That's okay. I'm going to do it anyway. Because that's how much God wants us to fly. And I think in here, if we were to look at our lives, when did we stop trying to fly? And you can try to pinpoint it back to, well, it was this, it was a relationship, it was a job, all that stuff. And all that stuff is just a byproduct. Okay, yeah. But it doesn't discount how good God still is.
That's
and for you to get back up on the bike and continue to drive. The enemy would like nothing less is for you to quit, stop, don't believe God, just die and wallow right where you're at. Not God's plan whatsoever. You have to make a choice and say, you know what, it doesn't matter, pull up your pants, get dirty again, and get back out and try it again.
Yeah.
Try it again. Do something again. Allow God to help you navigate through it again. It has nothing to do about your worth. Well, I failed, so I'm worthless. You're not worthless.
That's right.
It's life.
That's right.
And there's excitement still to be had. There's excitement. Get out on a branch. Jump off. Jump out of a plane. That's what God's asking us to do. Not literally, don't go leave here and jump out of a plane. But just leave here with that metaphor in your mind that if the plane is going and God said, it's time to jump out. It's time. You can't stay up here. If you stay up here, this plane is going into the mountain. And that's what God has asked you to do. If you stay in a certain spot that you're at, this plane is going not to the place that you want it to go. It's going nowhere. I need you to jump out of it. I need you to jump out of that relationship, jump out of that mindset, just jump out. Third thing. You're running out of time. Book of James. Chapter 4. Put it up here, guys, for me. Verse 13. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Verse 14. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Verse 15. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or do that. You have a certain amount of time here on this earth, and it is unfolding rapidly. So the more you wait and debate on whether or not you're going to do something, the more time you lose. And how many of you would be honest in here and think about yourself, man, it felt like yesterday I was fill in the blank. It's amazing at how fast time goes. So you have to be of the mindset that says, you know what, I don't have time to waste on trying little stuff. I'm really going to start believing God and trying and asking God for big stuff because I want to see my purpose unfold in this life. I don't want to die without having tried.
That's right.
And really see God do some amazing things and see God birth some things in my life. Lord, help me in that process and be a little bit more urgent in your life and not so hesitant in your life. Mm. Listen, if you're hesitant, it's okay to be cautious and use wisdom, but your hesitancy can cost you. Mm-hmm. How many of you know people like in the stock market, you know people who have stocks and bonds? You're like, man, these people are really successful. You know why? Number one, they're crazy. Number two, they know when to buy and know when to sell. They know the process. There's no time to waste. They're always monitoring. They go to buy. I'm not saying that's the life you got to live, but what I'm saying is, in your life, you got to know when to buy. You got to know when to sell. You got to know when to fold them. You got to know when to walk away. Thank you, Kenny. So you got to know all that. You got to know. You got to know when to fold. If it's not working, I got to go. Because the mission is more important. Your mission is more important than what anybody else thinks and what they're saying. You got to know it. If God is saying, listen, I need you to move, I need you to jump, just do it. Because God knows the end from the beginning. He doesn't want you to stay stuck. He doesn't want you to stay in this little small view of your life and what God is trying to do. A little bit more urgency. Let's all stand on our feet. Listen, if you come here any length of time, you know that this is kind of part of our DNA here. We believe God has called us. He's placed us where He's placed us, but He's also called us to move. Just move. Move in our life. Not stay stuck. So the reason why we implore you and encourage you to get involved is because there's something that happens when you move in your life and you're about God's purpose that helps you get unstuck in areas of your life, and it helps God's purpose to begin to happen in your life. God is not just going to take, listen, God is not just going to take you and throw you into His purpose. Sometimes you wish He would. But what He does ask is, I need you just to start walking, okay? And as you start walking, what will happen is I will start moving you where you need to go. Just stay back there. You're in timeout. Now, so same thing, right? Be about God's business. Start believing again that it's possible. Start looking at God again like He's a good father and He actually wants good things for His kids and He wants you to see you succeed. But I would say it here that if maybe God's stirring you in your heart right now, just start trying again, man. I never said quit. When I said quit your job and you had to go, that's fine. I didn't say quit life. I close one door. Some of you maybe have this mindset, well, God closed the door, it's done. God closes the door, He opens another one. It keeps moving. because he wants you on this journey with him into good places in your life. And I just pray even right now in Jesus' name, every head bowed. Father, I pray in Jesus' name right now that you would awaken people up to their destiny, awaken people up to the relationship that they have in you, the value of that relationship they have in you, and just how intimate you are acquainted with us, and how much you love us, and how much you want us, God, just to trust you, but also just to try, just to believe you for what you're asking. Sometimes we don't get it right. It's okay. But Father, we thank you, God, that we still can believe you for the impossible, because we know that you're the God of the impossible. God, I pray that you would bring healing into people's lives as they begin to trust you and step out. God, I pray, God, even this week, as people are beginning to walk, that you begin to talk to them, speak to them, God, break them out of complacency, God, break them out of small-minded thinking, but help them keep that childlike spirit, God, so that they can believe that you are still good and that you want to see them fly. God, for those that have been broken, I thank you for healing in their lives. God, those that are seeking direction, I thank you, God, that you give wisdom by your spirit. God, those who are seeking your perfect will, God, I pray that you would intervene with them and begin to show them the good things that you have in hand for them. And that it wouldn't cause them to stop short of seeing all that you promised. God, we're excited about what you're doing at TCC. We're excited about what you're doing, God, in our lives. And I pray that you would continue to lead us and guide us into all that you have for us. Wake us up. God, help us to anticipate and be ready for the good things that you have in store for us. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 Let's finish up with a song today.